Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Doing fine.
Good, good.
Very well. Thanks. Well, we want to talk about the movements we see in this coronavirus scandal. Oh, it is a scandal, you know.
Yes.
I mean, what's going on here? It's something we've touched on has really hit a lot of people's attention now, because we were always concerned about the downside of the lockdown, assuming that it could be bad. And, of course, I think the basic reason why people should be against the lockdown is against their freedoms to make their own choices. And there's two things. You could argue the case against the lockdown for principle of liberty and responsibility, and it wouldn't even be entertained. The government wouldn't be involved in medicine, that sort of thing. And I think that's the most important argument, a moral argument. And then next, what does the law say? And the Constitution tended to agree with that. The Constitution is a prohibition to the federal government getting involved. But then the last argument, sometimes is the only thing we heard here in Washington, would be the pragmatic. Is it working? Is it doing okay? Can we modify? Can we go more slowly? Can we speed up? Because they always remain, you know, an interventionist planner. And I think that's what's going on right now. They have designed this as a reaction to their planning. But, you know, I think then the other thing that we have talked about and we have to think about all the time is what is the motivation of the people who wanted the lockdown? And you know it's absolutely for saving lives and making sure people don't get sick and keep people safe. At the same time, we're at a point where, guess what? People are waking up and they're saying, oh, this war against the virus, it might not be any more practical than the war against the Vietnamese. Maybe it's no more practical than against the war against Saddam Hussein. And they're looking at it, and isn't it delightful to see people not being the bad people? They're the good people. They're standing up for what is right and responsibility. It's even coming nearer home all the time. People here in Lake Jackson are deciding this is too much. But I think it's spreading. But this news about the doctor is great.
Yeah.
You know, because I've complained probably a little unfairly. You can't paint them all with the same brush, because we had a very good physician on yesterday that was fighting the battle from an important position. But this is good news that the doctors 600 doctors wrote to Trump. And I think something like that Trump will pay attention to. And he probably was more in the light of that, and he was looking for a little bit of assistance, you know, to support him. Because no matter how strong he is on having his way, he's still obviously very shrewd on politics. And if the move is toward somewhere where it's breaking his way, where people are saying enough is enough, I think he's going to become bolder and back off. The only thing that I have reminded people so often, and we've talked about, is that there are two approaches. You wean people off and you gradually move away, and you don't challenge the principle on which they based all this shutdown and regulation. Because if they do that, you still have the principle there, and they back off and let people go to the park as long as they stand 22 feet apart and all that nonsense. And I think it's so much more important to state the principle. And the analogy I use is the fact that, you know, if you're being beaten up by a gang of thugs and some rescuers come, oh, we'll help you out. We'll tell them to beat you a little slower and get you off your get off your back as in a gradual manner. And that's better than letting them be up. Yeah, but the best thing is get them out of here and quit beating up. And we're beating up this economy. We have not saved lives, and now the doctors are realizing there's a lot of medical complications by being locked in your house. You know, yeah, sounds good, being locked in your house. That's like house arrest. Yeah, fine and dandy. But now, the one that really bothered me too. The headline showed a lot more heart attacks and strokes. I mean, just the stress factor is related to those kind of diseases. So, but I think basically we have found several things today that we can say that people are waking up, they've had enough of this, and they'd like to see the governments, especially the governments, back off. I'm sort of satisfied with the stuff that, you know, we have bad governors and better governors. At least that helps point things out.
Yeah.
It's better than Trump take it and say, I am going to regulate every state exactly the same and it won't hurt. Because the bad, and it's already being seen, some of these people are leaving the states that are already bad because they were bad on economics. So I'd say, yeah, things are moving in our direction, not fast enough, but we need to keep encouraging people to be willing to stand up for what is right and the principles of liberty and not think that the government is there to make us safe and secure.
Well, the letter, Dr. Paul, is a stark warning. I mean, it serves as a stark warning, not just to President Trump, but to all Americans, because they're basically they're saying, this is more than 600, I think they're affiliated with the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, and other groups, similar groups. What they're saying is this national shutdown, and they say, we know this, we're used to being to triaging patients. This is like a mass casualty event, this shutting down of the country. It has exponentially growing health consequences, the shutdown. And, you know, I just read a couple of things from the letter, actually. It's pretty interesting, Dr. Paul. He talks about the different triage levels, black, red, yellow, and green, according to how severe the injury is. They write in the letter, millions of Americans are already at triage level red. These include 150,000 Americans per month who would have had a cancer detected through routine screening that hasn't happened. Millions who have missed routine dental care to fix problems strongly linked to heart disease, death, and preventable cases of stroke, heart attack, and child abuse. Suicide hotline phone calls have increased 600%. Liquor sales have increased 300 to 600%. Cigarettes sales have increased. And they go down toward the end. And talk about it's impossible to overstate the short, medium, and long-term harm to people's health with the continued shutdown. And they warned the president about this, the millions of casualties, the walking casualties that are accruing, and really they don't add it in their letter, but it really, as our title suggests, makes it look like that the response to coronavirus may actually be worse than the virus itself, particularly when you take out the most vulnerable sectors of society that were hardest hit, especially those people in nursing homes where the governor said, put the infected people back in there, let's get them all infected.
Well, this fits my pragmatic argument that for the practical reason that it's not working, people are furious and people aren't being healthier and they're getting more diseases and more people dying and therefore they have to do something. But most of the people still that are softening up on this are still saying, well, we still need them to get on the airplanes and make sure that I have extra room on the seat and on down there. And the question is, when they do that, I keep thinking, well, how many people died because they flew on an airplane that we know of? I'm sure there was spread with airplanes. But basically, the people who are responsible for making these decisions, the individuals, where they go and who they associate with, and the people that have facilities, private facilities like an airplane, I don't know why they shouldn't have the greatest concern about maintaining health. But what bothers me, of course, is the disaster to the principles of liberty. I keep thinking about, you know, how horrible 9/11 was. And TSA agents, and we had this vote on that, or whether it would be purely government or whether it was a pseudo-private system. The pseudo-private system was slightly better. It was private companies. But I know that you've had some experience with TSA. I can tell you about 10 or 15 that I've had. I didn't get threatened to be put. No, I was. One time I was threatened. I was threatened. And but they never have to pay the cost. I don't know if they've ever been fired or anything. They don't even get fired when they're a total failure, you know, when people are tested. So that's the way bureaucracies work, and that's the way this whole lockdown is working. But it destroys the people's willpower and talk. I mean, just anger is building, and that to me is really pretty sad.
It is. And, you know, there have been many articles written about this letter. The one we're looking at primarily was from FoxNews.com. But it quotes some of the doctors that were signing the letter. And there are a couple of interesting things. Actually, just the first one, this is a doctor, Simone Gold, from, I think, out in California. She says, when you look at the data of the deaths and the critically ill, they are patients who were very sick to begin with. There's always exceptions, but when you look at the pure numbers, it's overwhelmingly patients who are in nursing homes and patients with serious underlying condition, meaning that that's where our resources should be spent. And actually, we have our first clip. This is not Dr. Gold, but this is a colleague of hers, Dr. Bark, who says, there are thousands of us out there who don't agree with the perspective of Fauci and Burks. We believe this. Who believe this virus is deadly, it's dangerous, it's contagious, but only to, we believe it to only a select group of Americans. The path forward is to allow the young and healthy, the so-called herd, to be exposed and develop a degree of antibodies that both now is protective to them and prevents the virus from spreading. And when I'm reading this, Dr. Paul, I'm thinking, you know, first of all, Dr. Fauci warned last week, hey, if you open up too soon, there's going to be death and despair. There's already death and despair. And number two, they always like to say, hey, we got to follow the science, but only when the science agrees with them, right?
Or they make up the science.
Yeah, so these 600 doctors representing thousands of others who say this, why is that not science too?
You know, and the science people have always looked at the statistics and the data, and we've complained about the data, so they don't count them all, and most people haven't fully trusted the data on what they've given us about why there has to be so much fear. But there's a recent report to show that they're expanding that, because there's two ways you can test for that, literally testing for a virus or just testing for the antibodies, two different things. Now, an antibody might be, well, he's exposed to something, and we have probably hundreds, if not millions, of antibodies in our body for every little thing. And so it measures the antibodies, and you can measure antibodies against this virus. But the virus itself can be tested, and now they don't separate and say, well, these people had the virus, which means they might not even be sick.
Yeah.
They might have the virus and no illness, and that's one category. But then they're going to take and say, somebody had antibodies, but that might be 6, 8, who knows, 10 months ago, even longer, who knows, and the viruses may, you know, overlap. So, but now they're actually literally doing this on purpose.
Mixing it.
The people are becoming aware of that. Again, it's the goal is to build up fear and intimidation and terrorize the people, and people unfortunately still feel that way. But there have been some now that aren't so easily terrorized when they have the facts. When the people that we know, they get some facts, all of a sudden their approach is a little bit different. And I just love it when you get some people that stand up and just... all they have to do is ask a few questions to those officers that are about to arrest them. Where's the law?
Yeah.
Where's the law? Where's the sense of decency? You know. So that's that I think is changing. I think there's a lot of people doing that, but we still have a lot more. And it's also the bad stuff is contagious, but when we move in the other directions, like I hope we're doing, I think that can be contagious and people will feel comfortable. And I'll have people now say, yeah, you know, I always wondered about this, whether it was the right thing to do. And now they're sort of feeling good that they don't have to be in order to be patriotic and supportive of our country, that they have to agree with this. Say, oh, you know, 600 doctors, they ought to know a little bit about what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, you're sort of alluding to our second story, which is, it is actually ultimately a good news story, and we like it especially because it's hitting close to home, literally close to home, right, as in just down the way. And this happened yesterday in McLean Park here in Lake Jackson. A group of homeschool mothers, in fact, associated with the homeschool that we send our kids to, homeschool co-op, they were sick and tired of what was going on. There's a nice playground. I'm sure you've seen it, Dr. Paul. A nice new playground there. The kids love it. They've got tape around it saying, danger, 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 you know, as if it's got the virus. And so the mothers, I'm sure they're walking by there. Of course, they took down the basketball hoops and everything. The kids have nothing to do. They sit there forlornly. So the mothers got sick of it. They went down there. They had a little lunch on the picnic table, and they said to the kids, go ahead and go on the playground. We have a first clip here. This is our clips from this. There were some people there that we know that took some pictures. But here they are, Dr. Paul. Here you can see the danger sign. And here the kids having a nice time out in the sun. It was pretty warm yesterday. But what happened? The city workers called the cops. City workers called the police on these kids playing in the park. Here's the next slide. Go straight to the next one. So the police show up, and what happens is that the mothers are pretty smart, and they were schooling the police officers. Don't you understand? It's 80 degrees. The virus is dying. Our kids need the vitamin D. The police didn't know what to say. They were polite. They weren't being thuggish. They were just trying to listen to these mothers who were furious, but really knew what they were talking about, vitamin D, this and that. So the doctor said, the police officer said, hey, why don't you go to City Hall, because I don't even know what you're talking about. You go talk to them. This is above my pay grade. So here's the next clip. They said, okay, let's do that. They brought all their kids, put them in the car, packed them in, and went to talk to the city manager, assistant city manager of Lake Jackson, to clarify. They gave a piece of their mind to him about the First Amendment, about the Constitution, and to clarify it. And they finally got him to admit, these aren't really laws that are keeping your kids. And even though the police threatened to arrest you, they can't really arrest you because they're kind of more like guidelines than laws. And it was a great victory for them. And so what did they do? They packed their kids back up in the car. And let's have a look at this last photo. Everyone's in the playground. Look at this, Dr. Paul, having a great time. It's a real victory. They didn't get the tape taken down, but they were assured by the city manager, and let's hope they stick to it, we're not going to arrest you if you take your kids to the park.
And instead of us worrying, is that going to endanger our children? we're going to say they're more likely to be healthier than ever. They're getting a little bit more of the vitamin D that they needed. And not only that, is we know that the psychological aspects of this too, people sitting at home all the time and the stress that goes on. So it is so much better. And it's such a shame that bureaucrats make decisions for families. But that's the whole thing that's going on in our society. Well, the initiation of medical care, into the government system, that really only occurred about 50, 60 years ago. It started, actually started with HEW, under Eisenhower.
Yeah.
But before that, when I was born, I remember it clearly because my dad gave me my bill. And it was $35. And people, we had insurance, but we didn't have to depend on the government for it. Now it's everything is dependency on the government. And I think one of the most serious flaws in the thinking, and it's so tempting. Well, there's a lot of things they try, a lot of things they don't do very well, but what they have to do, that is government, they have to keep everybody safe.
Yeah.
And to do that, safe and secure, you have to give up your liberty. And most likely, the argument fits us as well in generally, is that if they do that, you lose your liberties.
Yeah.
And then you're less safe. And that's exactly what's happening here. This is a disaster. And it's just is really amazing that it could be handled in a contagious way, that the whole world is doing that. And this is, in comparison to others in our lifetime, this pandemic is small, and it's all been, exaggerated.
Yeah.
We don't even know. What are they saying? Up to around 100,000 people they'll be dying from this. Well, that's after they've, manipulate the death certificate.
Yeah.
So it is a shame, but it's dependency on government that is the real epidemic that we have to deal with, because individuals are capable of taking care of themselves. And like homeschooling parents have a sense of that, and they also get educated in the fact of who writes the laws. I mean, those policemen, they know, what law do you have? I don't know what law. And there aren't really laws.
Yeah.
And then they say, well, we got the governor say, we wrote an executive order. Some of those governors are getting into trouble now.
That's right.
Because maybe they aren't God.
Yeah.
They can't write these executive orders and do this. And I sure hope that's a negative for their political reelection. But
yes.
I think some very encouraging things happening right now. And I hope that we get as much of this information out as possible.
Well, one of the things that happened with the meeting with the city manager is one of the mothers said, so who's responsible for raising our kids and looking after them? Is it us as parents or is it you? And he thought for a second, he said, well, it's you. So let us do it. Step out of the way and let us raise our children, take the risks and raise them as we see fit. Yeah. So it was a convincing argument to him, thankfully.
Well, you know, even before all this thing about coronaviruses, going to the park always had a lot of risk. But I can remember, we loved to go to the park and get on these swings and see how high we could go. And I can remember a couple people falling off and breaking their arms. So it was dangerous there. Yeah. But they didn't decide, oh my goodness, kid fell off the swing. Are we going to have seat belts on our swings? You know, and we're going to prevent this. Yeah. So it's a different attitude. It's a sense of responsibility. And of course, that's what this country was built on, a lot of self-reliance. And imperfectly, of course, but really our country was built on this. And the great wealth was developed by individuals seeing that the American dream was possible by working themselves and having their own incentive and being responsible for their family, whether it's for their recreation or for their food and their housing. And it was never, the goal was never to be perfectly equal, because then you'd need the government to make sure that everybody had exactly everything equal. but we have to have, equal justice is what we need, you know. And when you punish people who have a small business unequal to the people who have large business, that really is a spot. They better correct that pretty soon, because that's going to be source of the revolution or the civil strife, because they have a point there. Why does the mom and pop stores, the little stores and hairdressers and all, they get closed down, and the big ones, you know, they probably got got their big bonuses from the government before the small companies got it, and yet they didn't get closed down and they made big bucks.
Yeah, Walmart's profits are through the roof this quarter. I would just close by just coming back kind of to how we started, and this is a great piece. We have it up on the Ron Paul Institute website, written by our friend Jim Bovard, and the piece is titled, Will the Political Class Be Held Liable for What They've Done? And I'll just read a couple of things from the great article. I highly recommend people to read it. Jim's always a great, great writer and a great libertarian, great thinker. But he has a couple of stats about the destruction of this country in the last couple of months. 40% of households making less than $40,000 a year have someone who've lost their job in recent months. These are the lower income levels of society, the most vulnerable layers. Disaster Distress Helpline. National Disaster Distress Helpline, 900% more calls this past March than the previous March. A health organization in California, and this will go to the title really, estimated 75,000 Americans will die from despair over the lockdown. And now, as this is what you said earlier, that 75,000 is less than the almost 100,000 that they say died from corona. But remember, Colorado last week had to revise its numbers down 25% because they were way overcounting. Even that's too high. So you revise our inflated numbers down. It literally may be true that the government reaction to a virus outbreak killed more people, certainly more agony than the virus itself. And that is criminal.
Boy, that's for sure. I want to close just by generalizing a lot of what we've been saying today, because I see this always in the big picture, which is the principle of individual liberty and personal responsibility. And you can solve most of the problems better than anything the governments can offer. The most the governments should do and offer is the protection of the right of individuals to take any risk that they want and take care of themselves and take care of their kids and all the other. But other than that, the government shouldn't be involved in trying to make everything perfectly safe and regulating and quarantine people at the drop of the hat. But I think our society right now, and along with Jim Bovard was talking about what's happening to us, is you know, I think what we're in the middle of is a pandemic of germophobia. And germophobia is something that I've mentioned before that in many ways Howard Hughes had. And his is an interesting story. He had an inclination to be concerned about washing his hand, but he was also a genius. He was a good businessman, but then later on, the germs and the bugs just, possessed him, and he ended up in a desperate situation, living in filth, and it was just a mess because his over-concentration blurred his whole mind and destroyed his life. And I think our society has germophobia. And I think if we don't change it, our end results will be like the end results of Howard Hughes, and it won't be pretty. And the big thing is, the answers are so simple. It's just looking at natural God-given rights for our lives and our liberty and the right to keep the fruits of our labor, and that the government should be very, very limited, and they should stay out of our lives, stay out of our bedrooms, and stay out of starting a new war to try to distract us. It's not that complicated, and I think the people would respond. And now when there are failures, there was failure at Vietnam, and for a year or two, we backed off but didn't do anything. There's a failure in the Middle East, but we're still messing around over there. And now they're starting to admit this coronavirus, fear-mongering. It was way out of whack, too. So they end up with failures. But the point is, we can do two things: learn from the failures, but also, once you learn about it, try to prevent it. This is where Daniel and I get sort of frustrated, because we see things coming, and why are they going to do it? And if you do a poll and it's generic, and you don't talk about Republicans or Democrats or anything else, people say, I don't trust the government. I don't believe the government. And on, the government should stay out of our personal life. Yeah, it's a good idea to keep what you earn. But nevertheless, it's politicized, it's powerful, and this coronavirus has been pretty amazing. And maybe we'll learn more about exactly how they were able to promote a worldwide fear-mongering campaign and get everybody involved in this. And you say, oh, Ron, you're saying there was no danger. No, there was a lot of danger. That's why you didn't want the government involved, because they overreact. And that should be the goal, because we've had pandemics before, and they have been bad, but there's a lot of people that can handle it, and they should, because for practical reasons it works better. But for moral reasons, we ought to say, I have a right to my life, and I have a responsibility to myself and my family and our neighbors to deal with it. So for that, I say, for peace and prosperity, look to the issues of liberty. I'm convinced they work. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.